Hare Krishna, our very great fortune once again to hear His Grace Vamsi Vadan Prabhuji addressing to all the Bhakti Shastri devotees in Sridham Mayapur, and this is day 5 of Unit 2 Bhagavad Gita Chapter 9 on 27th of December 2013, and this is Part 1 of the morning session. Hare Krishna.
Okay, so for today's, we're going to revise yesterday's class, but today is going to be a very special revision of yesterday's class, and we call upon His Grace Eklavya Prabhu to kindly go through the revision of yesterday's class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Thank you. In this, as the four volunteers, can you take this white piece of paper from under the instrument? And please face the audience. Please face the audience. Good. So this is one small aspect of yesterday's class to revise. And can all four of you come inside? And each of you hold one corner of this. Yeah. Come inside. Come here, hold it like this. Hold it up. Hold it up. Hold it high. Can you all see this? So this represents the sinful activities of the devotee. Yesterday we studied this verse 9.2. Raja Vidya Raja Guryam Pavitra Vidyam Samam Pratyakshara Ramam Dharyam Susukam Karatamayam. And this is the representing our group. Yesterday we spoke about how the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is pavitra, it's completely pure. And this knowledge is so pure that when the devotee is practicing devotional service, or we need a devotee, someone in the audience to come, one more volunteer to be the devotee. Someone volunteer, please? Yes.
Pavitra.
So, Pavitra Prabhu, please come over here. And he's going to play the role of the devotee. Please face the audience. Very good. You can put your hand in your japa mala if you want. Very good. So he's going to demonstrate the process of chanting as devotional service. And when the devotee chants and does devotional service, then Bhakti Devi becomes very pleased. And with her merciful glance, she destroys all the previous sins of the devotee. So the previous sins of the devotee are represented here. This is all the papam, aparabdha, kuta, bijam, parabdha karma. All of his karma is represented here. And when Bhakti Devi glances at him mercifully, then the personification of her glance will destroy all of the previous sinful activities. Are you ready?
Hari will.
Okay, Bhakti Devi, please come.
Hello.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for the dramatic presentation of Ruby. Of how devotional service is so pure and perfect that everything, all the previous sinful reactions are destroyed. I would also like to briefly revise on another important aspect which Nityananda Ramprabhu had presented on Pratyakshavagamam. So, what's the meaning of Pratyakshavagamam? Yes, so one can actually experience by direct perception the effects of the practice of devotional service. So it's not something which is abstract, which cannot be perceived, but the effects of the practice of devotional service can actually be perceived within one's life. And Srila Prabhupada has given the example of Narad Muni. And so, Srila Prabhupada also describes this here in one of his lectures. You can go to the previous one.
Different presentation.
Yeah, the previous one. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. So we discussed about the qualifications for hearing. That's essentially we discussed about anasuya way. That's non-enviousness. We had a discussion on the quality of non-enviousness and creating the Vaikuntha atmosphere. Okay, somebody read this please.
Pratyaksha avagama. Pratyaksha means directly. Avagama dambyam. Dambyam. If you are hungry and if you are given very nice, nutritious, palatable food, you haven't got to take any certificate from others. You will understand yourself. Yes, I am now feeling strength. I am now feeling energy. This is called pratyakshavagamam dharmyam. Similarly, if you take to Krishna consciousness, that is important, then you will feel automatically how you are satisfied.
Okay, so Prabhupada is comparing the practice of devotional service to eating food. So when one eats, then automatically one feels nourished, one feels satisfied. Nobody needs to give a certificate that now your hunger has been eradicated. One knows for oneself. So similarly, the effects of devotional service are also actually self-perceptible, and nobody else needs to actually tell. We ourselves can perceive for ourselves the effects actually taking place. Should I write here or there? Which is more convenient? So the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, there is this important verse, Bhakti Pareshanubhavo Virakti, which essentially describes this. There is described that by eating food, there are three effects which take place. You know what are three effects?
Digestion.
Yeah, definitely. Digestion. So after the digestion, what happens? Huh? After that, what happens?
Nourishment.
Yes. So there are three. There is tushti, pushti, and kshudapayana. Okay? Tushti is? Satisfaction. Pushti is? Nourishment. Kshudapayana is? Cessation of hunger. Okay? These are three effects which take place by eating foods. And every one of us can perceive that. Nobody needs to actually tell us. So, all the three effects are perceivable. And so he says that these three effects are analogous to three effects which take place in the practice of devotional service. What are these three effects? Bhakti, Pareshanubhava. Pareshanubhava and Virakti. So these are the three analogous effects which take place by the practice of devotional service. Bhakti means devotion. Pareshanubhava means a direct para isha anubhava, means a direct experience of the Supreme Lord. And virakti means detachment. So just like three effects take place by eating food, there are three effects which take place by the practice of devotional service, which are perceivable. So now, why is this tushti or satisfaction analogous to bhakti? Any thoughts? Okay, Nityananda, wrong Prabhu. You on the mic.
Well, definitely not the right answer. Bhakti brings satisfaction to the practitioner.
How?
Through experiencing the growth of love in one's heart.
Okay, fine. Yeah, that's right. That's perfectly right. Only we want a little more elaboration on that same point. Somebody can elaborate that point a little more.
Survival sampara yato bhaktir bhaksuje ahaitakiya pratiyata yatma su prasidati. When one performs bhakti, devotional service, under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it should be performed in two ways. It should be unmotivated and it should be uninterrupted.
Yeah.
As a result of this, yayatma, the atma, the person, the soul, experiences su-prasidati.
Yes.
Prasidati means satisfaction.
Right.
And not only satisfaction, but su-prasidati. Su means more and more. Superman!
That's right. Yeah, that's a perfect reference for that. That how by practicing pure devotional service, which is unmotivated, uninterrupted, definitely there is satisfaction, right? And that, so satisfaction, that's the reason why it's analogous to bhakti, because to the degree one practices that type of devotional service, which is unmotivated and uninterrupted, then one feels that satisfaction. So the next question arises, so within our own practices of devotional service, how can we understand whether that quality of devotion, namely unmotivated, uninterrupted, bhakti, as Prabhuji also said, is love for the Supreme Lord. So how can we understand whether that love towards the Supreme Lord is increasing or not? Frankly, from the first day we come to Krishna consciousness, we hear this word bhakti, right? And we hear of love, we hear of devotion. We've been hearing these words since practically the time we come to Krishna consciousness. So what does it exactly mean to have love for the Supreme Lord? What does it exactly mean? How can we really see for ourselves, judge for ourselves, whether that love for the Supreme Lord is increasing or not? So though some hands are up, I'm taking my prerogative to ask some. Boli.
Well,
So basically when your concept changes from my mind, myself, to he, his, himself, that's when you sense love.
Can you give an example to illustrate this?
Yeah, like previously the activities used to be with myself, mm-hmm. Now it's for pleasing Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine, good. Thank you very much. Yes, that's one important point, and that is turning the center, the focus from oneself to Krishna. Yeah, that's right. That's very important. So, how does one know? How does one know that that center is changing? Yes, Prabhu. Yes, very important point, thank you. Love means sacrifice. So there has to be some sacrifice when we speak of love. Without that sacrifice, there's no meaning of love. Maybe a very close friend is coming to Mayapur. He's coming at 1 a.m. Would we go to receive him or no? Someone whom you consider very dear to you. You would go, right?
Yes.
If you consider dear. That's the meaning of love. Otherwise, there's no meaning of love. There has to be some sacrifice. Okay, somebody would like to add to this understanding. Yes, I think so. We have not heard since quite some time from Shankar Prabhu. Okay, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by taste increases? So what happens? What's the practical manifestation of that?
So from there you would rather do it. So for instance, like you might be forcing yourself to dance in yoga.
Mm-hmm.
You might do it in German dancing.
Mm-hmm.
But then it changes that you have to think to yourself, the Lord, I'm doing this for His pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
So then rather than dancing by yourself, you dance in formation for the pleasure of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So take your round, do 16 rounds and throw your beat bag across the room.
Mm-hmm.
You think I'm going to jump.
Okay, good, thank you for that. Yes, okay, so taste increases, so definitely we want to perform some again the same point of some sacrifice, some austerity for the pleasure of the Lord. Okay, fine, thank you. Okay, maybe Prabhu, say your good name, please.
Chris.
Okay, fine.
What is the question?
What do we mean by loving the Supreme Lord? How does it manifest? How does the bhakti manifest practically?
It manifests with our relationship with the devotees, the spiritual master. Our attitude to the process.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine, thank you. Okay, mood, our attitude towards the process. Would you like to elaborate on that?
I think what Shankar said was really good, that your taste changes, that you want to do things not because you're being forced to do it, but because it comes naturally.
Yes, at the same time, I think so. It takes quite some time to come to that stage, isn't it? The jump over from Vaidhi to Raganuga, you know, whether it's going to happen even in one lifetime, hard to say. Maybe Shankar Prabhu can do it, I don't know. But definitely, you know, so you know, in the nine stages from Adav Shraddha to Prema, till where does Vaidhi extend? Yes, till Asakti. Right? Till asakti is vedi sadhana bhakti, and then there's bhava and prema. Right? And we told one specific characteristic of asakti. Somebody remembers? Yes, Mike?
The mind automatically jumps back to Krishna.
Yes, the mind automatically jumps back to Krishna even when it goes off. Yes. So that takes some time. So before that, before one actually reaches that platform, how do we know that one is making progress?
Remember in school when you had a class that you just didn't care about at all? The only thing you cared about was passing, maybe not even that. And you put almost no effort into it, but you got through it. So in Krishna consciousness, we can tell when we're looking at the deities, when we're thinking of the Lord, we can tell if we're saying to ourselves, I'm not trying hard enough. I should care more for the Lord. I should try harder. I should do some service. I need to finish my 16 rounds. We can practically see that inside of us as men, we're saying to ourselves, I'm not committed enough. Here I am doing this, but I'm not trying hard enough. I need to do it better. It's not like school. As Prabhupada said, this is godliness, but be very careful.
Thank you for that. Yes, that's the crux of the matter actually. And that is trying to perform the activity better. Okay, since Shankar Prabhu seems to be very enthusiastic to say something, please go.
No, I just wanted to say, we don't need to judge whether we're making progress or not. That's not the thing that's going to spur from us. The authority judge. How can you judge yourself? Who are you to judge yourself?
Good question.
Not you,
I mean, yeah, good question. Yes, it's a good question. Do we need to judge?
No.
Yes.
No.
Nikaranam Prabhu, should we go by majority vote?
No, no, no.
Can you tell
when
you're getting better?
Can you do that to tell you that? So in Krishna consciousness, you can tell if you're not trying hard enough. You don't need a doctor to tell you if you're trying hard enough.
No, my point is not trying, it's about tangibly seeing progress.
You can tell inside of yourself, I'm trying harder. I'm trying to do this more. I'm trying to commit more. I want more service. I want to please the Lord more. I never finished my 16th round. I always stopped at 15. I have to finish my 16th. This is the process. It's all internal.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you for that. Okay, maybe. Oh, there's too many answers. Okay, we'll take two more. Okay, fine. Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, when you lose, the more you lose the taste for material life, then that can be a sign of an indication.
Yeah, that's right. Yes? You have something?
Anything else?
Okay, fine. But I really like that point, and that's the crux of the matter. I said, that is, how are we trying to improve the quality of any service that I'm doing, whether it be chanting, whether it be listening to the Bhagavatam class, whether it be sweeping this room, cleaning this room, or whether it be preaching, or whether it be anything for that matter, any service that's given to us, that we're supposed to do. Am I trying to improve the quality of that service? Because, as one devotee very nicely put it, attention to details is a sign of love. Attention to details is a sign of love. And that's, in fact, if we carefully analyze, that's all about love. Take for example, your dearmost, your best friend's birthday. And you know what his favorite dish is. So what do you do? You go to the kitchen, you take a vessel, and whatever ingredients are necessary for that preparation, you put them in the vessel, you close the vessel, and you go out shopping for 2 hours. At the end of 2 hours, whatever happens to remain there, you scrape it off, put it on a plate, and you go to your friend and say, "My dear friend, please take this. I love you so much." Is that a sign of love? What would you do if you really had love? Huh? Yes, Anandamoto, what would you do? Yeah, remain there and do what? Yes. Not only just monitor, what would you do exactly? What would you do exactly? You make sure that everything is just perfect. The right ingredients and the right proportion, everything is just perfect. Why? Because you love that person. If you didn't love, you wouldn't care. Right? Just like we find in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu himself is glorifying Raghav Pandit as if he had 5 mouths. Why? Because of the quality of his devotion. It is described Raghav Pandit had hundreds of coconut trees within his garden. Yes, when he knew that there were some better coconuts at a distant place, he would sometimes go many miles to get those better coconuts. And then he would bring the coconuts, wash them in cooling waters, cut the top portion, remove the coconut water, put in a glass, then cut open the coconuts, remove the coconut pulp, put it on a plate, and then he would offer to the lordships. And the Lord would be so pleased with that love and devotion with which Raghav Pandit would make the offering. The Lord would actually come and eat. No Mahaprasad. The plate would be empty. And once what happened was that his servant brought some coconuts and he was walking through the door. And as he was walking through the door, he stopped over there, for whatever reason. He stopped there and then he touched the roof or the wall, and with the same hand he touched the coconuts. And when Raghav Pandit happened to see that, he was so upset. He said, "Don't you understand? There's so many people walking through that door, the dust from their feet goes and settles on the wall, and the same dust you're touching to the coconuts. How can you offer these to the Lord? Throw them!" And he sent the servant once again many miles away to get those coconuts. And Srila Prabhupada writes an interesting commentary, quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. He says, Raghav Pandit was not suffering from a cleansing phobia. It is not that he was being fanatically clean. That cleanliness was not some sort of fanaticism for the sake of it. But it was only meant for the pleasure of the Lord because he wanted to offer the best. And so when Raghav Pandit and his sister Damayanti would cook for Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hundreds and hundreds of preparations, they would cook every year and meticulously pack each one. They would put each preparation in smaller bags, a few small bags in a bigger bag, big bags in a bigger bag, and all the bags together they would put in 2 huge bags which would require 10 men to carry from Bengal to Jagannath Puri. And it's described as they were cooking for the Lord, they were so conscious that they were cooking for the Lord They would actually be meditating on how the Lord would appreciate and feel as He would taste each preparation. So they would think, oh, now this is a sweet preparation, it would be heavy to digest. So the next preparation that we cook must be something which is easy to digest. Like that. They would be totally conscious, focused on the pleasure of the Lord. And when all those preparations would reach Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri, Govinda, his servants, would tell the Lord, my Lord, these bags of Raghav Pandit were known as Raghavera Jela, the bags of Raghav Pandit, they were famous. And when Govinda would tell Mahaprabhu that the bags of Raghav Pandit have come, Mahaprabhu would tell Govinda, store them in that room. And Mahaprabhu would taste those preparations for one entire year. Till the next year when once again they would send. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes, how those preparations stayed for one whole year, only the Lord knew. What was the Lord tasting in those preparations? He was tasting the love of Raghav Pandit, the devotion. Why? Because they have been made meticulously with all attention to details for the pleasure of the Lord. And so, when that love, that devotion, and when one practices such devotional service without any motivation, without any material desire, but solely for the pleasure of the Lord, paying full attention to minute details of any service that we are doing, then Krishna is so pleased with that. And when Krishna is pleased, what happens? The living entity who is part and parcel of Krishna also becomes pleased. And that's how there is full satisfaction for the living entity, by the performance of that quality devotional service. And so, as Nityananda Ram Prabhu had rightly said, that when one is progressing on the path of devotional service, then if one is truly and rightly situated, one will always be focusing, one will always be meditating on how can I improve the quality of my service. After a few years, after practicing Krishna consciousness in terms of quantity, well, of course, quantity also we could increase, but there are certain things which quantitatively could not increase in terms of chanting and maybe attending Mangalarti and things like that. But in every service, there's one thing which we could always increase where there is no limit. And what is that? The quality. There is no limit to which we can increase the quality. That is unlimited. Krishna is unlimited and everything in Krishna consciousness is unlimited. So that's the meaning of bhakti. That's the meaning of love. It is not sentimental. It is perceivable. We can see for ourselves. Now we are discussing these things not to judge anyone else. It is for ourselves to see. So we can see for ourselves, am I trying to do things better? Am I trying to improve the quality of my service? And if we are rightly situated, making progress in Krishna consciousness, this is something which we will definitely feel and which we will definitely try to do. Always try to improve the quality of my service, the quality of my chanting, the quality of my hearing, the quality of any service that we are doing, then there will be satisfaction, tushti. Right, that's the reason these two are analogous. Yes, Prabhu,
Namaste. It brings to my mind a friend of mine, a devotee of Prabhupada disciple.
Mm-hmm.
I knew him like 33 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met him after all these years last year in Alachua in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
He's a cook. He's a great cook.
Mm-hmm.
He can cook anything in any amount and stock flavor. And what he said to me, he said, you know what? Because I said, oh, you cook this beef. Yeah, and he said, I'm still trying to improve the quality of my cooking. And when he said that, it was just like the saying, you know, I was really moved by this.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so that's a devotee who's in Krishna consciousness. That's the meaning of Krishna consciousness. Krishna is unlimited, and the quality of the service that we render could be unlimitedly increased, right? And that, and as we are making that endeavor to improve the quality of that service, then that Krishna is so pleased with that endeavor that he gives full satisfaction. Okay, fine. Let's go to the next. Now, pushti or nourishment is analogous to pareshanubhava. Para Isha Anubhava means a direct experience of the Supreme Lord. So, how this acts is, when we have an experience of the Supreme Lord, what we mean by that is, one gets certain realizations of the Supreme Lord. One can see within one's own life how Krishna is acting within my life, how Krishna is reciprocating with me. One feels an experience of that. Like all of us, I'm sure, we can definitely feel that reciprocation. When we came to Krishna consciousness, we had so many anarthas, and as we are progressing, definitely we can experience some relief, right, from those anarthas. And so we know that Krishna is actually reciprocating with me, or we may offer some prayers, and maybe Krishna reciprocates. So when one experiences how Krishna is reciprocating with me, one gets realizations in Krishna consciousness, that increases one's faith. And faith is what nourishes, that is what gives strength to our Krishna consciousness. As we know that the three levels of devotees, Kanishtha, Madhyam and Uttam, is based on faith, essentially faith and knowledge. But faith is an important element which goes right through from Adoshraddha to Prema. And so that faith is something which is very, very important, and that is actually what gives nourishment to our practices of devotional service. And so when one gets realizations, when one gets experience of reciprocation from the Lord, then that really increases one's faith, and that gives nourishment. And the result of both of these, and so the important point is, as one progresses, one gets deeper and deeper realizations in Krishna consciousness. Actually, Prabhupada writes in one of the purports in the Bhagavad Gita, I don't remember the exact number, bookish knowledge without realization is useless. Bookish knowledge without realization is useless. So that is what is really very valuable, and that is realizations which one is experiencing in the practice of devotional service. And that is really what gives nourishment and strength to our practice of devotional service. And the result of both of these, in fact, is this. And just like the cessation of hunger, when one is full, then one does not want more. So similarly, when one is satisfied in devotional service, one's progressing in devotional service, then anything that's material, one says, no, I don't want. So there is a reduction of material desires, material things don't really attract us, and one becomes more and more attracted to whatever is spiritual. That's what is virakti. So all these things are something which we can perceive in the practice of devotional service. And so that is why it is called pratiksha bhagama. Right, it's the effects of devotional service are directly perceivable, and these are the three main effects of the practice of devotional service, and we can actually perceive all three of them. Any clarifications on this? Yes, Nityam. Can you please pass this?
My question is, when a person moves from being a non-devotee, not associating with devotees, not knowing anything about the devotees, let's say, to being a bhakta, or someone who's beginning to chant Hare Krishna, does Krishna shift his attention directly towards that person and begin to observe and watch that person more closely once they begin to chant Hare Krishna?
Yes.
Then that would mean that as we make progress, Krishna is observing everything we're doing because now we have his special attention.
Yes.
So that would mean in the practice of being a devotee, God is watching us at every second to see what we're doing.
Yes.
I see.
Yes, another question.
Just had a question. The realization should be cross-checked with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, or should we just take it for granted?
Yes, if you want a very wonderful explanation of what a realization is, then you can refer to 1.4.1, and Prabhupada gives a wonderful explanation of what a realization is. And as you rightly said, essentially yes, it must be according to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. And that's right. Yes? The microphone is open.
Hi Krishna. Could you just elaborate what means unmotivated, uninterrupted?
Okay. So unmotivated is all that discussion that we had on what love is, where we are simply focused on the pleasure of the Lord and we are not concerned about anything else. We are not concerned about anything else other than the pleasure of the Lord. There's no other motivation, there's no other desire. That's unmotivated. And uninterrupted means there's no interruption. There could be so many impediments in the practice of devotional service, there could be material impediments, there could be inconveniences, so many things could be there, but still one goes on in the practice of devotional service. That's uninterrupted. Okay, those two questions and that's the end of this discussion. Yes, go ahead.
Bhaktiya maam abhijanate.
Okay.
I can be not only to devotees.
Okay.
So that is also part of the pratyaksha also.
Yes. Bhaktiya maam abhijanate. So Krishna is saying, I can be known only by bhakti. Yes, that's true. So when one is trying to cultivate that type of bhakti, that type of love towards the Supreme Lord, Krishna is pleased to reveal himself. Otherwise, unless Krishna is pleased, why will he reveal himself? He remains covered, yoga, maya, samadhi.
And
something
maybe I don't know whether it is out of the context, but in Madhurya Kadambari it says that at some point in devotional service, one can walk blindly and he doesn't fall.
This is in the 11th canto. This verse is in the 11th canto. Maybe it's also there in other canto. So basically that means that yes, when one is well versed in the practice of devotional service and one perfectly knows what to do, what not to do, then there's no question of deviating from the path. That's essentially what it is. Okay. Yes, sir.
Prabhu, I want to just ask a question.
Yes, please. quick.
Prabhu, Krishna has six opulences.
Yes.
If he hasn't had this with six opulences, would we still love Krishna as we are doing now?
What do you think?
I'm asking you.
Now, what do you think? That's what I am asking you.
If he is a cowherd boy and a true constant companion, I would have. But I want to know your opinion.
So you are saying that if he is a cowherd boy, you love him. If he is not?
I am saying that he has six opulences, If he hasn't had all these six opulences, would we love him still as we are loving him or serving him now?
So that's what I'm asking. Would you love him if he didn't have all the six opulences?
I'm asking you.
Now I'm asking you. Now you have to answer.
My idea is that if he was a simple boy and if he was a true companion, I would have.
No, you answer your question. If he didn't have the six opulences, would you still love him? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, that's fine. Good. that's good. Okay, we're going to the next verse.
You need to answer it.
Whatever you said is perfect, right? Huh? Yes, that's true. But the point is that even if one didn't know or one didn't realize the six opulences, but still one knew here's Bhagavan. He's a cowherd boy. In the form of a cowherd boy, then he's not manifesting all the six opulences, but he's still loving. Okay, fine. Okay, we're going to text 3. Okay. So now, in text 2, the Lord has explained how the process of devotional service is so wonderful, so easy. Susukam kartum avyayam. It's so wonderful. But why? Why is it that still some people don't take to devotional service? Why? The answer is in the third verse. Ashraddhana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa apraapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. Those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me or conqueror of enemies. Therefore, they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. So, as Prabhupada begins his purport by saying, the faithless cannot accomplish this process of devotional service. That is the purport of this verse. Right, that's the essence of the whole verse. The faithless cannot accomplish this process of devotional service. Okay, so as we were just discussing, the element of faith, which is something which is vital to the practice of our devotional service. Okay, so we would like to have a little bit deeper understanding on the subject matter of faith. And in that regard, so what we would like each one of you to do is this. You make a list of all factors which increase your faith in devotional service and factors which reduce your faith in devotional service. Factors which increase your faith and factors which reduce your faith, or we can say strengths and challenges. Okay, so just make a list individually, make a list of these two. Okay, we'll give you maybe some 3 minutes for that. the summary one more time. Okay, from amongst your challenges which disturb your faith, you choose three most prominent. Three most prominent. Amongst those challenges which disturb your faith and Krishna consciousness within us comes. Choose three most prominent. Okay, if you've done that, we request everyone to kindly rise. Okay, so now what we're going to do is, so your three challenges, so when we ring the bell, you find a partner and you disclose your challenge to him and seek a suggestion how to overcome that. Okay, so you tell him your challenge, he gives you a suggestion, he tells his challenge and you give him a suggestion. Right, so we do this three times. Okay, and three times with three different devotees. Okay, not the same one. Okay, so with each devotee maybe you spend 3 minutes. So we will ring the bell. When we ring the bell, then you change. Okay. Okay, this is the bell. Okay, so have you understood the exercise? Any doubts? Yes, Guru?
So what should we say? Should we decrease it or increase it?
No, your challenge, whatever is your challenge,
decrease.
Yeah, which decreases your faith, you share with him and seek a solution how to overcome that. Okay? Okay, fine. Okay, so let's begin. Please start.
You gotta walk into the
Yeah, anyone. No one?
No,
one at a time. Didn't find someone? I see Prabhuji. No, okay, they're together. What about this? No, they're two. Okay, maybe just join with someone else. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Hari Prabhu, please change your partners. Find some other devotee. Hari Prabhu, please change. No attachment. Hari Prabhu. Hari Prabhu. Change. Later on. Here, Rabbi.
Yes.
Darshan of Dharma. Thank Hari Bol. Okay, kindly sit down. Occupy your seat, please. Hare Krishna. So was it a useful exercise?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, so any of your strengths remain, your challenges remain unanswered, or you seek some clarification? Okay, yes, Shankar.
I think it's time to discuss this one, but often popular in devotional service is we take up service that empowerment will follow, and that Krishna will take care of us.
Okay, anything else? Yes. Okay, still, okay,
so is it next maybe or?
Okay, we will still know. Okay, fine. That's the end of the list? Okay, fine. Okay, so was there something more?
I don't understand how the last one is based.
Anantaya Prabhu is asking, how does this relate to faith? Is your faith disturbed because of this?
Yes.
Okay, please pass on the mic there.
I often get bewildered when I speak with a scientific person, because I still have like a scientific conditioning from all the years.
Mm-hmm.
So often they bewilder me because time doesn't at all go along with the veil.
Mm-hmm.
That often bewilders my faith.
Okay, I think it's somewhat similar to this one, right?
I can't reach.
Okay, fine. So, so let's try and figure out some of these challenges to one's faith. Okay, so first one is, how do we see Krishna's empowerment of devotees? And okay, there's a project which didn't flourish, which sort of failed to perform. Okay. If you want a classical answer for that, you should read Brahma's Praise for Creative Energy in the third canto. And I will try and discuss some key points from Srila Prabhupada's purpose in that section. So, there Srila Prabhupada writes that there's here this Brahmaji who has been given one of the biggest projects that any human can ever fathom. What's that? Creation of what? Yes, the creation of the entire universe. Anybody has ever had such a project? Well, it could be a small universe. Universe could refer to many things. But here we're referring to the whole universe. And so, Brahmaji is really, he knows it's a tough job. Yeah. And so he's praying to the Lord. My dear Lord, you've given me this task, but you have to give me the empowerment. And Srila Prabhupada gives some very wonderful purports there. And so here we find Brahmaji, he has been given this great task. But first of all, he is not thinking that I, by my own, am capable of doing it. He is humble enough to accept that by my own endeavors, it's not possible. And he's humbly approaching the Lord for that. Not only that, he's praying to the Lord. My dear Lord, you have given me this great task, and because you have given me this great task, there is every possibility of being influenced by the illusory energy of the Lord, and I may become proud to think that I am the creator. So kindly, please save me from the influence of the illusory energy. Just pray. Just like Srila Prabhupada. On the Jaladutta he was praying. My dear Lord, you have given me this impossible task of preaching in the Western world. How can I do it? My dear Lord, please give me the words. Give me the words by which I can change the heart. I cannot do it. It's not possible. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, as he's writing the Chaitanya Charitamrita, He's praying to the Lord, "My dear Lord, I can't do this. I'm an old man, 90 years old. My joints are severely affected by rheumatism. I can hardly walk. I can hardly write. I can't do anything. How can I do this? But my dear Lord, the mercy of the Vaishnavas is the stick with which I walk." There is this beautiful pastime of Srila Prabhupada. I don't know if you've heard that. Before Prabhupada went to the West. This pujari of the Advait Acharya temple at Shantipur, he came and reported this incident here in Mayapur. And he said that how before Srila Prabhupada went to the West, he would come regularly to this Advait Acharya's temple at Shantipur. And there he would be sitting behind and simply praying to the Lord, praying to Advait Acharya, shedding tears. "My Guru Maharaj has given me an impossible mission. How can I do it?" And he reported that for many days, maybe for 2 or 3 months, he would come. He would just silently sit behind. He would be intensely chanting, praying, crying. And then he would go up to the pujari, thank him, and leave. And the pujari never spoke to him. Then, for some days, he didn't come. And then after a few months, he saw him back. And this time, the pujari was very anxious to know who this gentleman is. But again the same thing, he was coming, sitting, chanting, intensely praying. This time the pujari asked, "My dear sir, who are you? What do you do?" And Srila Prabhupada replied. He said, "My name is Bhaktivedanta Swami and my Guru Maharaj has given me an impossible mission. I do not know how this can be achieved. I have no qualification. Therefore, I'm coming here to intensely pray, beg for the mercy of Advaita Acharya and the Panchatattva. Without their mercy, without their blessings, it won't be possible." And then he said, "Tomorrow, I'm going to Calcutta, and from there I'm catching the ship to go to the US." And Srila Prabhupada went. And then for many months again the pujari never saw him again. And then after many months the pujari saw some Western white-skinned devotees. And the pujari was amazed. "From where have these people come? These Westerners dressed in dhoti kurta, kanti mala, chanting the holy names. From where have they come?" He was amazed. And then, after a few days, one of them gave a back to God in life. He opened that magazine, and as he was going through that, he saw Srila Prabhupada's photo. And he said, "Yes, this is the person, I know him, he was coming here regularly." Bhandari was so touched. So yes, that's empowerment. It doesn't come out of the blue. It requires that sincerity, that humility, to understand that I'm fully dependent on the Lord. When one is fully focused on the mercy of the Lord, therefore Srila Prabhupada writes, blessed is the one who is empowered to do great tasks on behalf of the Supreme Lord. But at the same time, there is a great risk that one can become proud. But Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas, through their own example, have showed that yes, empowerment comes through that dependence on the mercy of the Lord. And when one feels that dependence in utter humility, then what is impossible can become possible. As Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami writes, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is impossible can become possible. And without that mercy, even what is utterly possible will become impossible. Right? That's empowerment. It all depends on that sincere feeling of dependence on the mercy of the Lord. And when one has the sincere feeling of dependence on the mercy of the Lord, whether externally some project flourishes or it fails, in either cases we understand that it's the Lord's plan. Srila Prabhupada, when he was in India, apparently it was a failure because Krishna had higher plans. And when he went to the West, initially it still appeared a failure, but then it took some time for things to manifest. But as far as we are concerned, the important lesson is that feeling of utter dependence on the mercy of the Lord, that will attract the mercy of the Lord, and that is empowerment. Hope that answers the question. Okay, fine, so our time is up. Thank you very much. We will ask the remaining after the break. So kindly come back at 12:10. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada. The Acharyas, especially the devotees, who brought down Mahaprabhu. Right, so this is the one who especially prayed so intensely to bring down the Supreme Lord.